Aloha, this is Catherine Cruz. Thanks for joining us here on The Conversation, Hawaii Talks, on this Thursday, September 10th. This morning we hear from the Hawaii Tourism Authority. Cruise ships are being diverted from Kauai's Noiliwili Harbor as it's still not safe to get around while crews work around the clock to get power restored and get roads and properties cleared of storm debris. What's the message for our tourist industry during this critical time? We hear about the harbor woes on Lanai, where residents and businesses are preparing for what while they wait for the docks to reopen to resupply. With power restored to customers on Oahu, Hawaiian Electric lends a hand to Kauai. And we learn about a theatrical performance raising awareness of nearly extinct animals. You are tuned to The Conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. This morning, we hear from the Hawaii Tourism Authority about the message we are sending to deal with tourists who are on the Garden Isle, either in properties hard hit by Hurricane Lowell, or for those visitors who have plans for a Hawaiian vacation in the immediate future. We were able to connect with David Uchiyama, HTA's administrative officer, this morning. He's been in contact with emergency management agencies for the county and state about the efforts to restore power and water to areas hard hit by the recent storm. He's heartened by the progress by KIUC, the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative, in getting power restored to its customers. More than 90% were in the dark following Hurricane Lowell. Here's Uchiyama with the latest.
They're already up at 57%. Power to the island. They had initially given us an estimate that it would take about a week to 7 days or a week to 2 weeks to get 50%. And they've just, I don't know what they're doing over there, but they've just worked around the clock to get them to the 50% so far. They are at a point where they need to get fuel in to Port Allen. And the Coast Guard and the National Guard are helping clear the way to get the barge in. HECO is sending over heavy equipment that they use on Hawaii Island for Lala over there. And the Oahu EOC sent manpower over to help Kauai as well. So I know a lot of the hotels got hit really hard on the south end in Poipu, and we're just trying to accommodate visitors as best as we can, and hopefully in sister properties on the other islands, and then clear the path so that workers can get in there to help support the island, because the main concern is making sure that we can restore everything as quickly as possible. So Department of Transportation, I think they started even when the hurricane was still in the later stages, because they started clearing the roads and doing everything. Everybody's just been really collaborative in the efforts. And Mayor Kawakami and Elton, who heads the emergency center on Kauai, they've just been fabulous in terms of orchestrating what's needed to be done.
Yes, I think everybody's on heightened alert, you know, given what we saw with the Kona lows outside of the hurricane season, and then just to see these storms form. And, you know, given that, you know, tomorrow's the anniversary of Aniki, right? I mean, it's traumatic for the families and the businesses that live through that. I understand that, you know, during the storm that folks were, you know, sheltering in place right at the hotels, and then, yep. You know, folks are either trying to get out while they can, or like you said, you know, relocate to sister properties on other islands, right? So the message is basically, right, during this time on Kauai, consider other islands.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we're trying to redirect as much as possible. I know NCL has been very collaborative, and they were supposed to go into port today, and they realized that we need the time to clear the roads and restore power, so they're redirecting their boat, I believe, to Oahu. But everybody has pretty much jumped in, and it's the same for the Kona Lows and Lala. Everybody supported each other, you know, and Kauai during Lala sent crews over to Maui and the Big Island. So everybody's reciprocating, you know, and that's what we sometimes lose sight of, is the spirit of our islands and the people that are here.
We know, you know, that it's a tricky time with messaging to our visitor industry, but, you know, you want to be able to make sure that we keep people safe. And, you know, we've got to get those vital services up and running. I was out in Guam following the super typhoon, and I was able to see, you know, how that area was given property down in Tuman Bay, where all the hotels are, you know, like Waikiki, right? Our lifeline and Poipu and where you've got a lot of our tourists. But yeah, it's tricky.
Yeah, it is. You know, in my role here, I've sat through four governors, and I got to tell you, this governor is so hands-on and has the collaboration of everybody surrounding him. So it's really nice to see. It kind of restores your faith in what we can accomplish together.
And then is there anything you want to underscore, you know, just that given that HTA, you know, is now under the Department of Business and Economic, you know, Development, you know, how we're handling the messaging and the campaigns as we work our way through hurricane season and whatever comes our way?
Yeah, no, we've sent out messaging letting people know that our other islands are open. For the people that were on Kauai, you were recommending that they take advantage of sister properties on any of the other islands. And for people that were considering coming to Hawaii, we're telling them you still can come. Your itinerary may need to change slightly to incorporate Maui, Oahu, and Hawaii Island, but the islands are open for business. For us here, locally, we want to make sure that we take care of the residents of Kauai and get power restored, the roads open, and get them up and running again. We may need to move some of our residents into the hotels temporarily to help them get through this process.
Right. So all that is in play right now.
Yeah. You know, and in the industry, as we saw with the Maui wildfires, are very supportive of our communities. And, you know, sometimes I think our communities lose sight of how important our industry is, not just for the economic stability of bringing our visitors in, but also when it comes time and the calling is to take care of our residents, they're right there. So I give kudos to the industry on Kauai.
All right, David. Well, we certainly appreciate, you know, your time this morning. And, you know, we're just keeping our fingers crossed that power is restored soon for the entire island and that we can get on with our lives.
Yeah. Thank you.
We've been hearing from HTA's Administrative Officer David Uchiyama about how the state is handling the flow of visitors during the aftermath of Hurricane Lowell, particularly on Kauai's South Shore, which was hard hit by the storm surge and strong winds.
Support for HPR comes from Aloha Air Cargo, connecting Hawaii by providing inter-island shipping with services including Aloha Next Flight Out, Aloha Standard Overnight, and Aloha Economy. AlohaAirCargo.com.
Aloha, this is John Zach, producer of Special Broadcasts, inviting you to a special Live from the Atherton Storytellers event, The Cutting Room Floor. Join us for a conversation with director Kate Tellers of The Moth and a Moth guest speaker to see how the stories for The Moth are crafted. This free event is on Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m., with doors opening at 2:30. Tickets and details at hprtickets.org, sponsored by HMSA.
Support for HPR comes from Hawaii Gas, focused on local innovation, decarbonization, and investing in renewable and locally sourced energy solutions. Learn more at hawaiigas.com.
We now turn our attention to the island of Lanai. Hurricane Lowell forced the closure of several harbors across the state, including Honolulu Harbor here on Oahu for a time. But for a small island like Lanai, the closure of its lifeline of a small harbor is having an immediate effect. Here to talk about that is HPR's Catherine Kluwit-Pachtel. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
Yes, so what's the latest?
So Kaumalapa'u Harbor, which is on the western coast of Lanai, is closed until further notice. They got a lot of damage from Hurricane Lowell at that harbor. It is, as you said, the only dock for their once-a-week barge, and so it is causing some concern on the island with supplies being limited. The latest from the Hawaii Department of Transportation, they did an assessment there on Tuesday afternoon. And that night, they said it would take about a week to make those repairs on the harbor. And now they're saying it's going to take about 2 weeks. They announced that late yesterday, a little bit of an extended timeline there. And so we will have to wait and see how long those repairs actually take. Young Brothers has said that deliveries are canceled until further notice, until that harbor is back open. Now, what happened with the damage itself? There are several, a couple of large sinkholes in the harbor dock area where the swell went under that concrete, washed it away. There are huge jacks that I believe weigh about a ton each at the end of the harbor, which are missing. They may be underwater. Containers were also carried away in the harbor area by the water. One is all the way across the bay. And also machines that use cables to hold the barge steady while it's docking during deliveries. One of those is missing. And so a lot of pieces have to be put back together for this harbor to reopen. It's not just the dock repairs, but also, you know, those machinery and underwater obstacles that, you know, their location is unknown and that could pose a threat to the barge being able to safely dock as well. And a couple of days ago, there were really long lines at the island's two grocery stores and the only gas station, like 2 hour waits for gas, cars lined up down the street. They do have a $50 limit on gas right now, just to help conserve. Here is County Council member Gabe Johnson from Lanai talking about the situation.
We do have very short food supply. We've 25 days of fuel on the island. We have one small boat harbor and we have one airport, but what are we going to do with the fuel? Right. That's a concern I have. So hopefully we can get this up and running soon. But I want to remind everybody, Lanai is a very walkable town. So if you want to conserve on gas, just start walking and you'll find out how easy it actually is. In this time when there's a huge hurricane, it just passed through. There's going to be so many needs for so many different communities. We're all going to need help. Even little Lanai this time is going to need some help.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you think about that fuel, right? I mean, folks need to get around. I mean, it's not a very big island, but still, it's a stress.
Yeah, absolutely. I talked with someone at the Lanai gas station this morning. Pulama Lanai does own the gas station, and employees said that there is enough gas for the current situation. Lines have slowed down. There was only a few people, you know, waiting to get gas when I called this morning. I did reach out to Palama Lana'i, of course, that is under Larry Ellison, who owns a majority of the island. And they told me that the harbor does fall strictly under the Department of Transportation, so they won't be assisting with repairs at all. But Lana'i Air is helping to bring in food and supplies by air. So, you know, there is still a flow of essentials. And, you know, as Gabe Johnson mentioned, in addition to this harbor that we're talking about, there's also Manele Small Boat Harbor on the southern coast. That's where the ferry to Maui docks, as well as fishing and tourist activities. And so there are other options to get supplies in. But to keep things in perspective, Lana'i only has one barge every week. It brings in gas, it brings in supplies. And residents have told me that they've gone a couple of weeks without barge deliveries in the past. You know, bad weather sometimes affects the harbor. And so, you know, it's not unheard of to miss a couple of weeks of deliveries. But I think with this damage, the uncertainty is what's making it a little bit more concerning for folks. Molokai, as another small island, does have two barges a week. And so, you know, if you miss one of those, for whatever reason, you know, there's not as big of a concern. One thing that I wondered about with the gas deliveries is, the electricity for Lana'i is generated, at a diesel power plant on the island. And so, you know, I reached out to Hawaiian Electric as far as their fuel supply for generating power for the island, and they did tell me that they have a sufficient supply on island already to continue generating electricity for more than a week. So it sounds like right now, you know, there's no big concern with that. You know, and of course, just living on small neighbor islands, you know, even for me on Molokai, you know, a big question in the community is what really happens when the barge doesn't come, right? And this is kind of an example of seeing that with the harbor damage. So, you know, in the case of Lana'i, you can fly in food and supplies. But I do want to look specifically in the future of, you know, what are the contingencies, alternative plans, you know, if that fuel isn't able to come into the island, what does that mean for everybody on a longer term scale? So a lot of unknowns still at this point, but I think everyone's hopeful that that 2 week time frame for the repairs will be passing quickly.
Yes, we'll keep our fingers crossed. But thank you so much, Catherine.
Yeah, thank you.
That was HPR reporter Catherine Kluwe-Pachtel. Look for storm coverage updates on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.
Support for HPR comes from Big Island Coffee Roasters Anniversary Celebration online September 17th to 20th with Kau Yellow Bourbon, Kona Noir, and more. BigIslandCoffeeRoasters.com/anniversary.
This is Pixie Clay from the Newsroom, inviting you to a special Live from the Atherton Storytellers event, Speaking Up, Politics, the First Amendment, and You, with Bill Dorman, HPR's Senior Vice President of News and Executive Editor. This free event is on Thursday, October 8th at 6 p.m., with doors opening at 5:30. Tickets and details at hprtickets.org. Sponsored by HMSA.
Support for HPR comes from Zippy's, celebrating 60 years of being a part of Hawaii's communities and supporting over 350 organizations dedicated to helping others throughout the islands.
You know, after restoring power to Oahu, Hawaiian Electric is turning its attention to the Garden Isle. It's helping KIUC, the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative, following Lowell's track through the west side of the islands. We were able to connect with HECO's Vice President Jim Kelly late yesterday afternoon with the latest update on the outages.
We had outages that started really Monday early in the morning as Lowell passed by, and at the peak we had about 20,000 people out on Oahu, and then had most people back by early afternoon, and a lot of them wrapped up by the end of the day on Monday. We still had some outages out on the west side, which, as I'm sure people have seen from the coverage, there was some damage from the storm surge, and the road was, Farrington Highway was closed for a while, so that the access issues slowed some of the work we had to do to repair some of the down poles and other damage that way. But and we also had some outages on the windward side. But in general, having just come through Hurricane Lala and made a lot of repairs to our infrastructure just in recent days, I think we were actually very happy with how we came through Lowell. Relatively few outages, and most of those were addressed fairly quickly.
Well, you know, I have now come to check your outage map regularly, and as I was watching as Lowell hit, I did see a lot of East Honolulu out, and I thought, uh-oh, is this transmission line again? But it was interesting, you know, to see as I was, you know, clicking on the map, there were some causes that said down tree, you know, which was great to just have that information, or blown transformer.
Yes, we try to, and it's easier to do when we're just dealing with a fairly small number of outages to come up with the cause so that people can see that on the map. When we have a larger event, that's a little more challenging. But again, as we discussed after Lala, I think what we're seeing is a lot of instances where tree branches being blown, you know, by gusts of wind, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour, that's going to potentially knock something down and blow into a line, and that's going to cause an outage. And so we have to really look, as kind of all of us together, look at the challenge of vegetation management. And clearly, I'm sure what some people have seen on Kauai as well, that's an issue over there.
Well, I understand that you folks are assisting KIUC as well.
Yes. As we wrapped up the work on Oahu, we loaded up some trucks and equipment today, and it's going to be barged over to Kauai and should arrive on Friday. We're going to be putting our crews from Hawaii Island and Maui County and Oahu are going to be going over to Kauai as well to support KIUC crews in helping get the restoration moving as quickly as it can. A lot of work to be done over there, as I'm sure you've seen.
Well, I do have to ask, because we did get some crews from assistance from the mainland, right?
Yes.
Have those folks gone back already?
They just finished up on Hawaii Island on Monday, restoring the last pocket of customers in a place called Wood Valley, which is near Pahala. And they actually had to work with our crews to reroute some power lines to get around some damage over there so that we could get this group of customers back online. But they are wrapping up by the end of this week. And for us, and I don't know what their status is with KIUC, they would have to make a separate arrangement with them if they were going to want them to work on Kauai.
Well, we know that it's going to be a big job for the Garden Isle. And, you know, given that, you know, this is the anniversary of Aniki, you know, we have to just stop and consider the lessons learned, right, from those big storms and how to be more resilient. And, you know, like you mentioned before, you know, you folks have invested millions in dealing with trees as a threat.
Yes, and you don't need to be a engineering PhD to try to come up with an answer to how you address this very clear resilience issue that every island has. And so I'm hoping that this is going to be something that gets more conversation going around it and more attention. As we talked about before, there's issues with all utilities are somewhat limited in how much work they can do taking trees out that are outside of the right-of-way or the easement that the power lines go through. And I think we're going to have some conversations about what else we can do, because if you can eliminate the potential for trees falling into power lines and knocking down structures, you're going to eliminate a pretty significant source of the causes of outages that we've been seeing in these storms.
Yes, and we have seen so many trees go over during the last few storms. I forgot to ask Mayor Kawakami about the Tunnel of Trees on Kauai.
Yeah, I saw it was posted on social media that I think Iniki really did some damage. I think it was almost bare. And from what I've seen this time around, there's still a significant foliage in the tree tunnel.
Okay, but, good to know.
Yeah, so I think, maybe got a little bit of a break this time.
Anything else that you want Hawaiian Electric customers to know at this point?
No, we're ready. There's another storm that is lurking out in the ocean, and I think we're all bracing for it being a challenging season. We've done a lot of work just since the last storm, Lala, and now with Lowell, getting everything back up the way it should be, and we're really hoping that people are going to be preparing themselves as well as the work that we're doing to make the system as strong and resilient and be positioned as we can be. But it's also on people. They got to be thinking about what they can do, their own homes and businesses, to be ready. This is a great example, though. I'm really happy we can work with our colleagues at KIUC, because we do a lot of work together, and this is a great example of Hawaii coming together when there's an issue that needs to be addressed, that we're all, you know, figuring out what it's going to take and then getting it done. And I know we're happy to go over there and help those folks just as they've helped us in the past.
That was Hawaiian Electric's Jim Kelly with the latest on restoration here on Oahu and the efforts to help out Kauai recover from Hurricane Lowell.
Support for HPR comes from Ho'ola Napua, working to prevent child trafficking through public education about buyer demand and the community's role in reducing exploitation. Resources at ho'olanapua.org.
This year marks the 25th anniversary of the attacks on 9/11. We're looking back and tracking how events of that day still reverberate in America and the world. Join us for a special one-hour program from NPR News where we ask, what have we learned?
Beginning Friday morning at 11.
Support for HPR comes from VertAccount, an outsourced accounting firm in Hawaii. For 15 years, offering accounting and bookkeeping support to local businesses and nonprofits. Learn more at vertaccount.com.
In the wake of the recent storms, many students and educators across the state are having a hard time keeping up with the school year. For many, meeting the demands of the workload means studying or grading on the weekends. And as mid-quarter grades are released, challenges beyond the weather have popped up, including how to manage student use of artificial intelligence. Those are the themes of the latest installment of our weekly segment, Homeroom Hawaii.
4 weeks has gone pretty fast.
It's been a little challenging. I think it's because mid-quarters are coming up and all of the grades have to be put in, so I have a lot of quizzes and a lot of final projects that have to be done. I'm just trying not to procrastinate. This is Skylar Shim signing off from Kauai High School.
Aloha, this is Mariko Yorimoto coming to you from Barbers Point Elementary. at the start, every situation felt urgent to me. My natural and default instinct was to simply react instantly, to answer every question, to solve every problem, and handle every personality the second it landed in front of me. I think over the past 4 weeks, I've learned the power of the pause. I'm giving myself grace. Slowing down my reaction time has also allowed me to slow down my day. I think instead of rushing to the next item on my task list, I am finally present. Oh, it sounds so bad when I say it out loud like that, as if I wasn't present the last 3 weeks, but it's different. I'm noticing and enjoying the little moments, a quick laugh with my staff, my colleagues in the hallway, or a true, genuine interaction with a student. Those small, quiet moments are where I realize real connection happens.
Heading into the weekend, and I'm here now just trying to make sure that I do all my grading and all my lesson planning for next week so that I'm not spending my whole weekend doing that. It's always a challenge, and it's definitely something that I'm really working hard this year to practice, is to leave my schoolwork here at school and enjoy my weekend for my self-care. It's a work in progress, that's for sure. This is Tiffany Edwards Hunt with Kao Middle School. Thinking about open house last night and how many parents actually took the time to show up, and it was nice to connect with the various families.
The library is so different.
But the decorations are the same.
Yeah, the
schedule. You have a copy of your schedule in that little green packet. I may not get back to you, like if I'm teaching. I'll get back to you in the afternoon.
I'm just the IT guy at the school, but I also have the honor and privilege of heading Molokai High School's competition robotics program. I have a really big challenge in front of me as far as the use of AI by students and how to curb it, and also how to educate the kids on what AI is as a tool. But, you know, teachers also can make use of AI, and it's also properly educating them on that. So for me, that's a major goal for this year, is proper AI usage and ensuring AI isn't used for shortcuts. This is Edomindia signing off from Molokai High School.
This year feels so much different than last year because we have so much more freedom in high school. This is Addie Roberts coming from Kao High School. It also feels different because we go from being like the top dogs of our campus in middle school to being like newcomers in high school. It's quite a big change.
Aloha, this is Audrin coming to you from Farrington High School. And this week was a little bit less stressful. I have straight A's for now because I've been actually doing my work on time without like procrastinating, which is surprising.
This week was, oh my gosh, this week felt like an eternity, honestly, because last week we had the 2-day week, so this week just felt never ending.
This is Emma Wittig signing off from Kalaheo High School.
Now that we're starting to get into the work, some students already start to fall behind. Especially for the sixth graders, this is very new at a middle school. A lot of students come from elementary and they have one teacher, and that teacher teaches them everything. I like to say that elementary is like Disneyland. Middle school is definitely different because it's like Magic Mountain. The rides are greater and they go faster, and now sixth graders got to get used to six classes per day, the bell ringing, being on time to class, and all these different things. So the challenge is, how do you continue to support kids and make sure that they can do their best? Once again, this is Joe Pasantino signing off from the prestigious Princess Ruth Kealiʻokalani. Aloha.
We lost our 4-hour worker. This is Chet Collins coming to you from Kapaʻa Middle School in Kapaʻa, Kauai. They decided that we didn't need an extra person, so now there's just 3 of us in the kitchen. And when one of us is out sick or has an appointment, it can get really challenging.
Since COVID, I feel like our local government's interaction with the school has increased from the time that we had COVID. I think there was a lot of government directives that drove the way schools were run. But it seems to have evolved over the years, where more and more laws are being passed around education. It's well-intentioned, but it's not always a benefit at the school level. Sometimes it requires an immense amount of money, so sometimes things are put into law without the funding to back it. it falls down to the principals and administration at the school level to make sure that we're in compliance with these new laws that come out every year, every cycle. This is Katina Suarez signing off from Moloka High School. Aloha.
This is Tyler coming from Kaunalakai Elementary School. One challenge was basketball for recess. Sometimes kids was playing rough and I calmed myself down.
This is Aura coming to you from Kaunalakai Elementary School, and I'm excited for Ohana Day where my mom gets to come to my school and see what I do because we're going to make bookmarks together, which is going to be fun because I like reading books.
This is Judah, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow because we get to do elections and I'm running for president.
Aloha, this is Kapua Chandler coming to you from Namahana School. This year is so different from last year. It's our second year of opening. Last year, it really was such a big difference coming. All the new students were all new, so there wasn't a culture built yet. There wasn't routines built, and the students didn't know what to expect. This year, it's just such a different experience because our students, our returning students, they know where the classes are, they know who the kumus are, and they're leading the culture.
Aloha mai kako. This is Kumu Lokehan coming to you from Kekula Kayapuni o Kualapu'u. Kualapu'u Public Conversion Charter School. I am looking forward to posting our classroom rules. Every year, I have the students help me create our list of rules for the class. My only instruction to them is to try and keep it simple, keep it small. Not too many rules because then we get lost in all of the verbiage that's happening on our list. And so this year, we came up with three basic rules for our classroom. Our first rule is e a'o kako ika o lelo Hawaii. We are all learning Hawaiian, and we do this through reading, writing, and speaking. Our second classroom rule, e kia ika no'ono'o, and that means to focus your thinking. We use an olelo no eau to help demonstrate this rule, and our olelo no eau is e nana kamaka, e ho'olohe ka pepeau, e hana kūpono. So it's a little twist on the original olelo no eau, which is look with your eyes, listen with your ears, and ours says e hana kūpono, do something productive, yeah, do something good. Our third rule, e mālama I ke kuleana, take care of your responsibilities. Nauno ke kuleana e a'o mai a'o aku. Yours is the responsibility to learn and to teach. And I want to say I'm learning a lot from my students this year as well.
Those were the voices of HPR's series Homeroom Hawaii, which we just launched, where once a week we spend time hearing voices from campuses across the state.
Support for Homeroom Hawaii comes from Hawaii USA Federal Credit Union, supporting educators with programs and resources, and helping to strengthen the schools and communities in which they serve. HawaiiUSAFCU.com.
The Treasury Department just eliminated a rule that required U.S. companies to report their business ownership information.
I think it is a very, very dangerous move on the part of the Treasury Department.
Why? Well, the rule was intended to stop money laundering, and now that rule is gone. That's on the next On Point.
Beginning this afternoon at 2.
You ready? The carnival's coming to town. We've got music, puppets, pageantry, and nearly extinct animals. Well, Megan Conley is the founder of the nonprofit Ocean Music Action, which raises awareness about nature conservancy through the power of music. She's pulling all kinds of strings to put on a one-of-a-kind performance at the Hawaii Theater. Using musical numbers, Carnival of the Nearly Extinct Animals is raising awareness of, well, nearly extinct animals. It's also got puppets, ballet dancers, and narration by Moses Goods, and more to make it a celebration of hope rather than despair. HBR's Kevin Allen sat down with Conley to talk about the show, starting with its name.
So the name of the whole performance, Carnival of the Nearly Extinct Animals, comes from the piece of music that we're performing. It's the same title, Carnival of the Nearly Extinct Animals. So this is a piece of music composed by Stephanie Boyd, who's based in New York. So there's another piece of music called Carnival of the Animals that probably all of your listeners have heard. The swan is the movement that's the most common. So that piece was written almost exactly 100 years ago, and it's very just sort of fun. It's all these short movements that tell the stories of different animals like kangaroos and hens and chickens and tigers and elephant and tortoise. So this new piece, Carnival of the Nearly Extinct Animals, is this young female composer, Stephanie Boyd, who is answering this earlier piece from the classical music tradition. So her piece is the same format. So it's all these short movements telling the stories of different animals. But as the title would suggest, it is endangered animals from across the globe. And so she's using her art form of music to highlight, amplify awareness of these animals.
And what kind of animals, I guess, are involved in
endangered, yes, the nearly extinct. So we have, it really does, one of the reasons I love this piece is because it takes us sort of on a journey around the globe. So it starts with tigers, and then we move to bees and butterflies, so our pollinators that are so important. There's polar bears. There's many species that are really important to Hawaii, so sea turtle, coral, and then she'll move through. There's black rhino. There are two species of birds, neither of which are Hawaiian birds, but I think it's really poignant because both of the species of birds are actually already extinct. And then we end up in Hawaii with kahuli, the seriously endangered endemic Hawaiian land snails. So she chose, you know, animals, each one has a different character, has different personality. So each of the movements that we're performing, you know, it's a little bit of an emotional roller coaster. It's uplifting. It's funny. It's, there are times that are sad, but it really ultimately is just beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I think maybe some people would hear that, the name of it at first, and think, oh no, this is going to be really sad.
Well,
because it's a very serious subject matter. It's very heavy subject matter. We're seeing so many more animals become endangered and thus extinct. I mean, Hawaii in particular, right? We're the extinction capital of the world. So yeah, I mean, I guess musically, you're a musician yourself.
Yes.
Musically, thematically, tone-wise, I mean, what kind of strings are you plucking there?
I mean, so I play the harp. So I have 47 strings that I'm working with on my instrument. But I do want to just say, I think you make an excellent point. There are more extinctions happening right now. We're in the midst of an extinction period, you know, and you could say humans are the asteroid this time. I look at it, you know, this is very important. It's also an incredible moment of opportunity, right? So many of these species that are threatened, we can choose to save them. We can choose collectively. This is something we value that's important for so many reasons. And so that's really the end feeling for this piece is really, it's positive, it's inspiring. It's, we have so much power as individuals, but then more importantly, collectively, to really define our values and then take action. So the music is beautiful, is really, again, like, just paints this picture. There's a melody for the elephant or for the polar bear. It also, with the music, she really shows you the habitat for some of the animals, you know, like coral. You can sort of just feel that you're under the water. We're also using, so it's not just music, so we also have dance. We have large-scale puppetry, which is really, you can't really describe it. You just have to see it. It's Greg Corbino, this puppeteer from New York, who's coming to work with three puppeteers that are on island. And they build these beautiful puppets out of nothing but craft paper and tape.
Wow.
And maybe some staples. I think there's staples also. So we have music, dance, puppetry, and then poetry. So
it's
Moses
a real carnival.
Goes, well, so it's a carnival. Yes, we don't have rides, but it is definitely a journey and really like an immersive experience.
And it's great, too, because you're using a lot of local talent, which
Absolutely.
Is fantastic. It's the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra.
Yes.
It's, you know, the Hawaii Ballet Academy. And as Moses Good, yeah, you have a lot of local talent. But what is it like just pulling all those strings together? I know I feel like I keep making harp or like plucking strings puns. But
yes.
What is that like? It must be a lot. You said you woke up 2:30 in the morning.
I shared that in confidence.
I'm so sorry.
It is a joy and a privilege. It's really my passion. My two passions are music and the environment. And so to be able to work on a project that combines those two, you know, the arts and the environment are so important and need our support. They enrich our lives. And this project, like you said, we have incredible local talent here in Hawaii. So to have the opportunity to work with these artists like Iggy Yang and the Ballet Hawaii dancers and the puppeteers, we're also bringing in artists from New York. So I think that combination of visiting world-class talent, like people that are normally performing at Lincoln Center, bringing them to our Hawaii Theater, which is historic, which is so beautiful. We're creating something, I mean, it's a world premiere. It's absolutely a one-of-a-kind collaboration. I think it's just going to be magic. So I'm happy to wake up, you know, after the show I can sleep.
That's right. Yeah. Sleep is for the dead. You know, you got to make an impact while you can. And I think music too, right, is such a important medium, I think, and especially for connecting with audiences like kids or, you know, younger audiences who might not fully understand a lot of the impact that words can carry, but I think they can understand performances and music and puppetry and storytelling. So just kind of talk to me, I guess, why it's so important that you're trying to reach these younger audiences through this performance.
Yeah, I would say the thing I am most excited about, and when we first started working on this project, I could picture a single child sitting in the Hawaii Theater, seeing, you know, the music, hearing the music, hearing the melodies, then seeing the animals expressed in movement, you know, beautiful costumes, and then having these puppets come out, you know, adding these different elements. Everyone responds to different ways to different parts of what we're offering. But I think the picture, we're really showing what is possible. And I think it will be unforgettable and it will be life-changing to show our youth, but also, honestly, everyone, like whatever your age, I think it is. It's the power of the arts, as you said, with music. It's the best technology we have to reach people's emotions. And we need that. You know, today's world is crazy. So we want this to offer our community this type of, I mean, it is sort of an escape. Just come and see this beautiful, creative, kaleidoscopic, have this experience, shared experience, and then walk away really feeling uplifted.
And how did something as multi-layered as this come together? I mean, I'm sure you could have just said, well, we'll do a concert, right? We'll just do a musical performance, and then maybe you'd be waking up at 4 a.m. versus 2:30 a.m.
Yeah.
But how did it come together point where you had all of these different players and all of these different parts?
So it happened not all at once. I really feel like, I mean, even how I'm not just a harpist in an orchestra, that I started a nonprofit that doesn't fit in a box, that uses music to promote environmental action. This is, I feel like it's the universe had a plan and I am just working with my heart in the right place. So first it was just music. We added one dancer and then she said, I think this should be more dancers for what we're trying to do. We added more dancers and then the choreographer said, hey, how do you feel about puppetry?
How do you feel about puppetry?
I was like, I'm neutral. But then I saw, it's not just, you know, I saw the work of this puppeteer, Greg Corbino, And he's a genius. Like, I actually, the first day seeing what he did with paper, I was moved to tears because it's just profound and beautiful. So the different elements came together one by one, and then it was still just a dream. And we have the Hawaii Theater is underwriting the program. So we're able to offer these tickets this for everything we're describing, this show with music and dance and puppetry and Moses Goods as narrator. And tickets start at $30. So that was really important to me that we make this accessible.
Why was that so important for you?
Yeah, I mean, I am the mother of a young child, and he has grown up with two musician parents. So he has, you know, from the womb was exposed to, actually, I played Carnival of the Animals when he was, you know, still in my belly. And there's a movement, the movement about the hens and the chicks, he would kick. Anyway, but so he has had this access, but that is not the case, right? We know that. So I was just talking to Randy Wong at the Hawaii Youth Symphony, and he and I share this belief that access to the arts, I mean, this should be a right, and all of our keiki should have this. It doesn't, they don't need to become professional musicians. We know the way that minds work, young minds work as they're developing, it really helps them process the world and learn, and we just want to show them what is possible.
Speaking of kids, I heard that there's going to be an instrument petting zoo.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean?
You know, right. On,
is that like
on
a cow
theme,
that's a guitar or something?
On theme with the animals. So that is a term that we use as musicians where it just means that the kids can come up and touch the instruments and try them out. I mean, I guess you could pet them, but the idea, I mean, with a harp, you could strum the strings. Yeah. So we want to, it's, I think, for kids to get to try to make their own sound is just really engaging. So, yes. Yeah, so for the Saturday matinee before the show, there will be the instrument petting zoo and then also an art activity around the, you know, inspired by the animals that we're featuring in the show. And then on Friday night before the show, we also are having local experts talk about some of the endangered animals in the show.
Oh, wow. So there's really kind of something for everyone. Really.
There's a lot.
If there was one thing that you could hope that people come away from the Carnival of Nearly Extinct Animals with, what would that be?
I think with everything, with, like you said, the title, Nearly Extinct, that so much damage has been done, that there are all these, you know, forever chemicals, all of these issues. I think the important thing to do, and really the best thing to stay sane, is to focus on what we can do and to really believe that we each have power, because we do. And as individuals, the choices we make, large and small, really have impact. Collectively, it's, we can shape our future. And I believe that. And I think it's easy to get apathetic or to just get down, you know, sad. And I think part of the challenge with these larger issues is maintaining resolve. So I feel like we can lift each other up and together shape our world to make it what we want it to be for ourselves and for our keiki.
That was musician Megan Conley talking to HBR's Kevin Allen. If you'd like to find out more about the Carnival of Nearly Extinct Animals, check our website, hawaiipublicradio.org. That does it for us today. Tomorrow, we're airing a special program from NPR about the legacy of 9/11. We will be back on Monday and on the road with a special show on the edge of the Alawai. We do welcome feedback. Call and record something, 808-792-8217, or email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. Our program is produced by Jacob Aloy, Lillian Song, and Kevin Allen. We also want to give a big mahalo and aloha to our intern, Addis Belai, whose final show is today. We do appreciate her work ethic, and we wish her the very best. Thanks also to our digital team, and mahalo, John DeMello, for the Beckard quiz theme, Gypsy 808 for our theme music. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us next week to pick up the conversation.